anything on it, but I feel very important having a big white one there. So we'll see what happens with that. I have a little notebook. So I felt very grown up today.
You look very grown up.
I thank you. I got a haircut. I thought it would be better than getting a divorce. Or moving to Canada. Or the other options to change my life. A haircut seemed better. Thank you. I'm so falling apart all at the same time. Anyway, and I dressed up, and I want to introduce a special guest. This is my BFF, Tracy Keller.
Yay.
And also known as Malibu Barbie.
Yeah.
Oh. Happy birthday.
And it's her birthday.
Ah.
And she is spending her birthday with us here at Awake. And we never get dressed up and have on makeup, and so we took pictures at my house this morning.
Ah.
And we exchanged the birthday gift. We've been giving each other for 20 years the same $20 bill.
Wow.
We've just been doing
that. Oh, that is hilarious.
The easiest friendship, you know? Ah. It's like, there's no shopping, there's no registering, there's no, it's like there's 20 bucks. Knock yourself out. So anyway, I'm so glad to see everybody. Thank you. I'm so glad to get to talk to you. I'm gonna talk a little bit about my journey. I think that's what a lot of people who teach and a lot of people who testify, you know, give your testimony like Mal. We just tell you what the Lord has done in me, right? What the Lord has done in me. And there's a lot of power in the testimony when we release the testimony. So my whole little talk that I have here is really just my story, his story with me. And I believe it'll bless you. I believe that that's what testimony is really something to do. So. And I hope that you will feel the boulder that Mal talked about. I hope you will feel it move today. Because there is something in you that's still alive.
Yes.
And when Jesus called Lazarus out, all he had to do was be unwrapped for the real Lazarus to be revealed. I feel like that's what the Lord wants to do with us. There are things in us that we think are dead and buried, lost, but the boulder's moved, and he's saying, come out, be unwrapped, be revealed. I want to start in Luke 19. We find the story of a man named Zacchaeus. He was a traitor to his people. He was corrupt, and he was a thief, and he was greedy. He was a suck-up to the Roman authorities who occupied Israel, and he did their dirty work for them. He collected taxes, and he put his thumb on the scales, you know, and he put a little bit in it for Zacchaeus every time, right? He was a small man. He had climbed a tree so that he could see over other people and get a glimpse of Jesus. And Jesus stopped, and he looked up at him, and he said, Zacchaeus, come down. Because I'm going to stay at your house. Which did not go over well with the crowd. Because they hated this guy. And Jesus was not going to go stay with the youth pastor. Or the worship leader. Or the biggest donor. He picked this guy. And it really pissed everybody off. I wasn't going to say pissed off. But I did. I said it twice. Later, during his time with Jesus, who never judged or condemned him, they were having dinner. Zacchaeus stood up and he said, I'm giving half of what I own to the poor to restore what I've cost them. And whoever I've cheated, I'll pay back four times as much. And Jesus watched what happened and he said, salvation has come to this house, to this family line. Zacchaeus was a son of Abraham, Jesus said. He was just lost. And this is when Jesus spoke the words, I came to save that which is lost. So I've always thought that that was a story about sin and how we're convicted of it. And when we quit doing bad things and start doing good things when we encounter Jesus. But I felt like the Lord showed me that it's about how our lost identities are rediscovered when we encounter Jesus. Jesus indicated that Zacchaeus was lost, and I think what got found was his authentic self. As I thought about Zacchaeus this week, I wondered if he might have actually been a very generous, giving person, kind, thoughtful. I believe that may have been his true identity. It had just gotten lost. Mm-hmm. But in connection with Jesus, in relationship with Jesus, in the presence of Jesus, Zacchaeus found himself. I think Jesus looked at Zacchaeus in a way that said, I know who you are. I see you. The real you. And in that moment, Zacchaeus saw himself the way Jesus saw him. And what happened? The shortest guy in town became a big man. This story tells me that in an encounter with religion, we feel smaller. In an encounter with Jesus, we expand.
Yes.
My friend Debbie Boggs looked up the meaning of Zacchaeus' name. It's really helpful to have a nerdy Hebrew scholar as a friend. Zacchaeus means, wait for it, pure.
Oh.
Wow.
So Jesus looked up at the corrupt tax collector and called him by his name. Hey, pure, come down here. I don't know what happened in Zacchaeus' life to make him take a job as a tax collector for a foreign power that was occupying his homeland. Maybe it was because he was short. Maybe he'd been bullied and shamed. And being a tax collector was payback. Turn the tables. All the people who made fun of him now feared him. They were broke and he was rich. And then Jesus looks at him, says his name, and Zacchaeus remembers who he really is. This story tells me that in an encounter with Jesus, we encounter ourselves. And we find out that we're okay. Jesus is looking at you. Looking at me, just as he looked at Zacchaeus. Reintroducing you to yourself. Giving you permission to be your authentic self. Rolling away the stone. I was telling a friend this weekend that over the past year or so, in my journey with God, which is this love encounter journey that I've been on, the gospel has kind of boiled down to this one thing. It's okay to be me. Now, there's a lot more in the gospel. There's a lot more in the good news of Jesus Christ. There's a lot more in our theology about salvation, right? But for me right now, where I am in my life, it's okay to be me. And there's a lot of freedom in that. Graham Cook says, let God's permission take root in your heart so that you can grab a hold of it like the lifeline that it is. God's permission to be you, to be okay with being you, is a lifeline. He gives us permission to think about ourselves the way he thinks about us. This isn't just like positive thinking, trying to build myself up, talk myself into something. This is seeing ourselves the way he sees us. To no longer be a slave to a former mindset. The book of Romans tells us over and over again that our old nature and mindset is dead. We are now alive in Christ, sharing his identity and his nature. And each one of us reflects unique facets of his nature, of his personality. We're created in his image. We're all different from each other, and yet we all reflect God. I'm the loud God. I'm the dramatic God. Part of salvation is that he sets us free to think about ourselves the way he does. Grab a hold of that. Part of salvation is to be set free to think about myself the way he does. The way we think is important because it rules our life. We've talked about this before, and some of these things are things you've heard me say before. I don't really have any new material. 2 Corinthians 10 says, I get the same father, right? 2 Corinthians 10 says our mindsets, our belief systems, those ingrained, sometimes subconscious, unconscious patterns of thought are strongholds. That's a fortress. They're constructed over time through circumstances and how we perceive the circumstances. How my family made me feel, how a spouse made me feel, how that group of people made me feel, how trauma, pain, loss, betrayal made me feel. And then what did I begin to think about myself because of that? Our identities end up being defined then by our experiences and our pain and our sometimes false beliefs. Shame and rejection and loneliness told me their version of who I am for many years, and I accepted that identity. So we need the Lord to dismantle that and tell us who we really are. Remind us, awaken that part of us. I told Ashley last week that I was probably going to be talking about identity again, and I just kind of laughed because, as I said, that's why I always talk about identity. And she said, in her Jedi Master way, the reason Jesus came was for identity. He preached it everywhere he went, so you're in good company. She's absolutely right. Because getting our identity right is the fundamental thing. Otherwise, the gospel that's intended to free us becomes religion and a code of conduct through which we strive and perform, all because we don't really believe that he loves us and we don't really love ourselves. Mm-hmm. So we'll perform. We'll behave. The number one thought that is revealed most often in prayer appointments here is this: I'm not enough. It's the number one belief expressed. I'm not enough. It's how a lot of Christians walk around feeling. Jesus came to make identity clear. He could have come as anything. And I've said this before, a military leader, a wealthy businessman, a political leader. He came as a son to show us who we are, to show us our identity, and to reveal God as Abba, Daddy, Papa, Father. He came to get that straight. He came to reconcile us to the Father, but also to reconcile us to ourselves. Where trauma and shame have divided and desynchronized our hearts, the Lord can bring reconciliation within us to the divided parts of us. Then we're positioned to accept that we are loved, that we're enough, that it's okay to be me. And it's from this place of self-love that I've been stepping into this year that we can fulfill the greatest commandment: love God, love others as ourselves. If we don't love ourselves, we focus on rules and behavior for ourselves and other people, and that's why there are so many damn mean Christians. Yeah. I would propose that only when we love ourselves can we fulfill our calling. This year at Awake, we're talking about the call of God on our individual lives. It starts with the foundation of identity. I'm loved. It's okay to be me. If the call on my life doesn't flow out of that, out of true identity and love for myself, it's just something else I have to accomplish and achieve. It'll be work. It'll be striving. It'll be performance. The call of my life. I'm fulfilling the call on my life. But if it flows out of God's love for me and my love for myself, my calling will be a discovery and it will be a joy. To love myself, to love yourself, is to agree with Jesus. To agree with Jesus. In Luke 5, Jesus said that we can't sew a patch of new fabric onto an old piece. I can't sew a little bit of my identity in Christ onto my old man, my old perceptions of myself. Jesus said that the fabric will tear if you do that. our souls can experience that same pulling. Imagine trying to tack on a little bit of Jesus to our insecurity and shame. You get someone who works really hard to try to earn his love. Let me share a Zacchaeus moment of my own. Sonia and John Roper, Sonia's in the back watching me, taking notes that I said pissed off. They were leading a group prayer session here at CHC, and I was participating in it, and the Lord highlighted something from my childhood that I'd long forgotten about. I was about 5 years old. I was walking down the sidewalk, and I discovered that one of my brothers had set up a little trap on the sidewalk that would cause me to trip and maybe fall. It was just, you know, a childish prank, but I can still remember the shock of realizing that my big brother intended to hurt me. He intended to do me harm. That thought had never occurred to me before. It stunned me. And I had forgotten all about it, but I remembered while Sonia was leading us through prayer. So I asked the Lord, as we do in our prayer sessions, I asked the Lord what that incident, because he brought it to my mind, what had that incident led me to believe? And he revealed that a thought was suggested, because a thought is usually attached to an experience or a situation. And the thought for me was, I was a target. I needed to be wary. I needed to not be vulnerable. And that thought grew into a belief system, and here's how it played out over much of my life. You do not want to mess with me. My identity became, I'm tough, and I'm kind of a jerk, and I'm a little bit scary. Here's the thing. He will roll away the boulder. He will change the narrative if you ask him. I asked him what truth he wanted that little girl to know. Back in that moment, because he takes us back in time and ministers to where it happened. And he took my little five-year-old hand and we skipped down the sidewalk and he said, I'm restoring your sweetness. And I realized that my true authentic self is really sweet. I had gotten disconnected from that, divided from it. In order to guard my heart, I became a jerk. And I have a painting in my house now that represents the restoration of that part of my identity. Every time I see it, I'm reminded of who I really am. Mm. And I can stand up like Zacchaeus in the presence of Jesus and step into that identity, my true identity. Jesus came to save what was lost. Another quick example, I was remodeling my house 2 years ago. Major remodeling. It was very stressful for me because of the money that we were spending and we were going into debt, but really the stress was I had to pick out stuff. Some of you love that, right? Some of you, like, this is like what you do. This is what I've avoided. And so I was paralyzed. I was panicking, and the guy that I was working with was just kind of throwing his hands up because I couldn't pick out tile or flooring or paint color or light fixtures or anything. I couldn't do anything. I would just freeze up and we'd, you know, run out of the store. And so I thought, I know what to do here. Ask the Lord about it. Probably Sonia told me, why don't you ask the Lord about it? And so I was lying in bed, and I said, why am I paralyzed? I'm not really an anxious person. Why am I paralyzed over all of this with anxiety? And immediately, I remembered something I'd forgotten about. I was about 10 years old, maybe 11, 12, I'm not sure. I was in elementary school still, and I was with a girl who I really looked up to, and she was super cool. How cool can you be when you're like 11? But she was super cool, and I wanted to be like her, and you know, my family was poor, and our family was rich, and she was pretty, and I wasn't, and la, 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 la. And so she was just, I just like, you know. So we were looking in this memory, and I remember it very well now. We were looking through catalogs. Back then, everybody looked through catalogs, sewing catalogs. You sewed clothes. It's a wild concept for all of you under 30. I'll tell you about it sometime. People sewed, and there's stitches and needles and fabric. It's really amazing. So we were looking through sewing catalogs, and I was like, oh, I like that. Oh, I like that dress. I like that shirt. Oh, I like that. And she would go, and everything that I've got. And finally, she looks at me and she goes, you have no taste. Oh. Right?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, I kind of laugh about it now. Yeah, you're kind of right. But whoa, when she said it, it was truth to me. Oh. See, that's what happens. People say things and it becomes truth. And so I asked the Lord, what did I believe about myself? That I was white trash? That I was no good? I was less than, I was inadequate, I was embarrassing. I mean, all this stuff formulated. Yeah. And I said, Jesus, what's the truth about all of that? And he goes, you are an expression of me. And everything you pick out, I like too. Wow. It's all an expression of me. The next day, I had an appointment with the remodeling guy. We went somewhere, and I went, I'll take that, I'll take that, I'll take that, I'll take that, and I want that. No, I do not want that. And he said, what has happened to you? I said, honey, this is the church. I had an encounter with Jesus, and I am okay. It's okay to be me. And I picked out, and here's the thing that began to emerge when the boulder moved away. I picked out this stuff. I never knew it was in me. All this really girly, feminine stuff. These light fixtures and this tile that like sparkles. You know, it's like, yeah. I'm a pony. It all came out of some part of me that the boulder had been rolled in front of. And Jesus called it out. He awakened that part. I'm kind of girly in a really loud way. I'm kind of girly.
Love it.
I have always heard John 3:16. I shared this last spring, for God so loved the world. And I would sit there in church and Bible study, God so loves the world. But there really wasn't any freedom in it for me because I didn't believe that God so loved Deborah. I could accept that he loved the world, but I was pretty sure he had some problems with me. My identity was so wrapped in rejection, I couldn't receive it. Graham Cook describes it as rain bouncing off of hard ground.
Oh.
And we can get that because of where we live, right? It takes a long time for it to rain and finally start soaking in. It's got to rain for a while. We got to sit out in the rain for the love of God to soak in. I was intentional about sitting out in the rain. I attended conferences on the love of God. I listened to messages on the love of God. I read books on the love of God. I took prayer classes with Sonia. I sat through prayer sessions with Sonia. Sonia was like, is she healed yet? Is she healed? Like, are we even close? Most recently, and I hope I can describe this in a way that you can track with me, I did a 21-day meditation challenge, and I would turn off my phone all the way off. That vibrating, I know, I see y'all. My phone's off. So I turn my phone off, and I'd lie in bed. I'd spend about 30 minutes every day, sometimes twice a day, and I would have one thought that I would focus on, and I would ask the Lord for the thought. And for example, one day the thought was that I'm one with God. We've been talking about oneness a lot here at CHC. Oneness, John 17, Jesus' prayer. And so I really drilled down on that during this time of meditation. And I asked him for scriptures to repeat. And I would repeat the scriptures to myself, sometimes out loud. And they were all coming to me. And this is the beauty of doing Bible study over the years, is it's all in the hard drive, right? And the Spirit of God pulls it out. And so these scriptures about being one, being a branch attached to the vine, wow, there's a lot of rest in that. All of the scriptures about oneness with God. And then I could feel my mind being renewed. And I would have these just like beautiful, expansive thoughts. Scripture was just opening up for me, and I had this wonderful picture over and over again of myself, and I still have it when I close my eyes, and it's me with the Godhead, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, connected to and united with them. Me in Christ, me with them. And the ancient church leaders had a word in Greek to describe this unity of the Godhead. It's called perichoresis, not peritonitis, which I wrote down the first time. That's like an infection. Perichoresis describes a rotation. Isn't that beautiful? A movement, a dance, if you will. It's intimacy, it's connection, and it's unity. And I saw myself that's where I actually am all the time.
Wow.
That's my starting point. This is the shift that happened in my life this year. Being accepted and part of the Godhead, belonging, not being an outsider, being enough. My starting point is acceptance in the Godhead. It's not what I'm trying to get to. It's not what I'm trying to be good enough to finally achieve. It's actually where we start. We are in Him. We are uniquely us in Him, in the Godhead. And that's a really big upgrade, because I spent a lot of my Christian life trying to be enough to maybe get there someday. It's actually our starting point. Oneness with Him. When we truly consider ourselves dead to sin and our old mindset and alive to God, something has to shift in the way we see ourselves. If you can't see yourself any differently than your old mindset, begin to pursue who He says about you, what your position is, what is your starting point. It's okay to be me. I spend so much less time occupied in my head with comparison and replaying and paralyzing self-doubt. My mind is freed up to think about other things instead of whether I'm enough. Wow. I am surrounded by amazing women. And in the past, the talent and gifting of other people used to make me feel deficient. I mean, I'm just looking at the front row right here. But as I've been able to see that my identity starts in the Godhead, that's where I begin, I'm free to celebrate what others carry. To actually be empowered by them and my connection to them. That's a whole different way to live. Mm-hmm. Looking around like, where am I not enough? To looking around and going, wow, Joni Timms is awesome! And she's my friend! Scarlett Morden, oh my gosh! I'll never look like you, but I love that I know you! Ephesians 4 and Colossians 3 say, put on the new self. Put it on. That may take a little practice. Putting it on, wearing it, walking in it. One of the benefits of living in your authentic self and living from your authentic self and loving yourself is that it makes you less likely to be shaken by attacks on your identity. Attacks will come. Chris Vallotton has a great teaching on Nehemiah. I'm going to try to summarize it really quickly. Nehemiah was the guy that God called to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. There were a lot of people who did not want that to happen, so they attacked Nehemiah personally. What do you think you're doing? Who do you think you are? You don't even know how to build properly. You just want to make yourself king. You have ulterior motives. You're going to get rich off of this. He's planning a revolt. And these critics would send word to Nehemiah, you need to come and meet with us and talk about this. And Nehemiah's response, I love this, was, I'm doing a great work. I'm busy. I think in the Hebrew translation it says talk to the hand. Yeah. And then they told him that an enemy attack was coming and that he should hide. And listen to this. He says, should a man like me run away? A man like me. He knew his true self. It stood up under pressure. He knew who God said he was. It couldn't be shaken. Graham Cook says, walk in the power of God's perception of you. There's power in how he sees you. There's power in how he knows you. How we think rules our life, remember? When we allow his thoughts to be our stronghold, we are elevated to the level that God wants us to live on. You have freedom to stop working on the old you that died at the cross and start living as the new true you in Christ. Lay aside the old man, put on the new. Connect constantly with his thoughts of you. And we're going to do some of that in a minute. His truth will act like a wrecking ball against the old structures of thought. Our ministry here at CHC, our prayer ministry, a lot of it is just learning how to think like the new man that we already are. Our friend Cindy Hatcher, who's a counselor and a prayer minister, says, you're not stepping into greater degrees of freedom. You're stepping into greater awareness of the freedom you already have. It's okay to be. Beth Moore says, quit acting ashamed or pretending to be someone you're not. Jesus did not save and dignify the fake you. He has bought us out of slavery to the old self and the old shame mindset. Slavery to a mindset of shame. He has set us free to fully accept our true identity. It's okay to be me. I didn't know August was going to sing Build My Life. I will build my life upon your love. It's a firm foundation. That wrecks me. I feel the boulder move. I will establish who I am upon the love of God for me. My identity built on being loved. That's my starting point. That's where my identity begins. I'm loved. Case closed. That issue's settled. Let's move on. Accepted, approved, enough. Some of us have built our identities on foundations of achievement, perfectionism, control, materialism, physical beauty, anxiety, striving, competition, comparison, self-protection. Those can be very wobbly. They will crack and crumble, just given time. Now, some of you might be sitting here thinking, I don't even know who the real me is. Because we become disconnected from our own hearts, our own passions, our own voice. As Ashley was talking about the first week, we don't even recognize our authentic self. Who is she? Where did she go? We've been what everybody else wanted us to be, or needed us to be, or expected us to be. We've defaulted to whatever it felt safe to be. Who is your authentic self? I've shared before that I like to look at Adam and Eve. Who were they before fear and shame entered into their thinking? Up until that point, they had experienced the thoughts of God about them. But then they began experiencing the thoughts of shame and fear. And what did they do? They covered up. They hid. And God said, where are you? I've always believed he was asking, where's the real you? The one I know. And they answered, we hid because we were naked. And he said, who told you? Who has told you that you needed to hide? What kind of thinking has put a veil over your eyes. 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is emancipation from bondage. There is true freedom. And we all, with unveiled face, continually seeing, as in a mirror, the glory of God, are progressively being transformed into His image, one degree of glory to even more. When we look in the mirror of Jesus, and we see ourselves as He does, we see His glory. Casey talked last week about the glory of the Lord covering the earth. What if that's us in our true identities? Looking at Him and Him looking at us, reflecting glory back and forth to one another. The scripture says that when we turn to Him, the veil is removed. Jesus is looking at you the way He looked at Zacchaeus. He's calling your name. He came to find the parts that got lost. He came to lead you back to the real you. You will find her in the Godhead, in your connection to Him, in your oneness with Him. That is your starting place of who you are, your authentic self. You're the one who belongs. You're the one who's in the dance and the rotation with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And there you will find permission to be her. To love yourself is to agree with Jesus. It's okay to be you. I want to lead you through a little bit of an exercise here to begin putting on His thoughts about who you really are. So if you don't mind, close your eyes. And for those of you who feel like, well, I don't know if I see anything, let me just ask everybody to do this very quickly, super quick exercise. Picture a tree. Can you see a tree? Does everybody see a tree? Okay, so guess what? You can see. So we just kind of took care of that. Close your eyes, Jesus. Show me a place where I can connect with You. Real or imagined, familiar or not. A time from my past or not. Jesus, show me where You want to meet with me and connect with me. And just let yourself be there. Jesus, why did You show me this place? Why did You pick this place? What does it mean for me? Why did You bring me here? What part of me are You ministering to through Your choice of this place? Jesus, would you show me when some part of me got lost? Jesus, what did I believe because of that? What did I believe about myself? Jesus, what is the truth about that? Jesus, what do you know about me? That I've forgotten. That you want me to have back. Here in this place, Jesus, what do you love about me? What do you love about my true, authentic self? Not what I do, but about me, the way you made me. What do you love? Why has it been so hard for me to believe that? Jesus. Ask him one last question with your eyes closed in that place of connection. Jesus, what name tag got put on me because of life? Jesus, what is your name tag for me, say? Mm. And would you put that on me? So I know who to answer to. I know what name and identity to respond to. What do you call me? Father, I bless these women to continue this dialogue with you of discovery, of reconciliation, that everything that has divided their heart is removed by the Spirit of the living God speaking to those things that would dare steal, kill, or destroy the identity that they are known by in heaven. Roll the boulder away. Awaken. Call them by their real names. Show them how to step into that robe of righteousness, self-love, authentic self. Empower us to agree with Jesus and love ourselves. Empower each woman to truly, from her heart and soul, say, it's okay to be me. In the name of Jesus, amen. You guys are welcome to take a picture of this if it helps you have a structure. Oh, yeah, yeah. And if you would like prayer,